Welcome to season 8. It's the first day of spring and the first day of the season, spring summer 2024. This is your host, Susanna Galanis. I'm here to share beautiful love stories with you. I'm a New Yorker. Although I was born in Greece, I live and work here, and I'm in the fashion industry. I'm also an artist, an entrepreneur, a podcaster, and a fashionista. I love fashion and beyond. I'm here to share my beautiful life experiences with you and create the most amazing, loving tribe and create a beautiful life, beautiful moments, all of us together, full of love, joy, fun, great style, and abundance. It's Susanna, my darlings. I'm back for another episode. It's fashion related, as I promised you on my last episode. Today I'm going to speak to you about the history about the famous international best dressed list. So for this situation, I ordered a book. It's by Amy Fine Collins with the topic International Best Dressed List, the official story. So I'm going to be getting information for this episode from here. There are so many amazing looks and personalities, famous socialites and celebrities that they were part of this stylish best dressed list. And it's quite interesting because as I'm going through the pages, I see what great style really is. It's very refined, very elegant, not necessarily pretty and beautiful, but really very chic, very elegant, very effortless, very confident. Yes, uninhibited. Definitely these women, they enjoyed fashion so much, and they felt very empowered, and they embodied this feeling. It is very obvious how confident these women were and how they wore fashion to express their personalities, their style, their image, their lifestyle, their inner thoughts, their outlooks in life, their tastes, whether they were very, very glamorous or very understated. But definitely these women and men, they were exceptional inside, and therefore the outside matched with their style choices, the jewelry, the styling, the hair, the makeup, their lifestyle. For example, I'm looking at a picture here of Gianni Anelli, who was one of my favorite style influencers, the Italian industrialist. I have another episode on the Anellis. Check it out to see what they're all about. Him and his famous wife, Mirella Agnelli. And I see how they look, you know, with the confidence, how they sit, how they are really... They own the place. Obviously, he was very wealthy in his case, that he did own the place, and obviously that gave him a lot of confidence. But there are so many other people, for example, a lot of social media owners in today's day and age, that they don't look that way, they don't have that, and they own a lot of billions, but they don't have that star appeal, that glamour, that confidence, that... gorgeousness, like some of these people that are part of this list, they definitely worked it. They definitely created, excuse me, they definitely created a work of art using their selves, actually up leveling themselves, treating themselves as an expression of art and wearing the right everything from hair. I'm looking at Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. I'm looking here at her earlier days when she was part of the White House, married to President Kennedy, and she's like so stunning in the most simple, elegant way, but it's not what she's wearing, it's who she is inside. So these people are giving us inspirations with their elegance, their beauty, their rebellious attitude in some cases. They definitely had a life going on, they definitely lived life to the fullest. It shows in their expressions, in the way they converse with their friends, in the way they are sitting, in the way they are holding themselves. It's just something spectacular. I'm looking here at Grace Kelly. Wow, she was such a star. Very understated and gorgeous, elegant, definitely a star. Audrey Hepburn. Coco Chanel, wow, she's wearing her classic Chanel here. But her attitude is something to be noted. You can see that she's a star. She's an influencer, inside out. Here I'm looking at CZ Guest, one of the Swans by Truman Capote. I've yet to speak about her, although I spoke about other style influencers of that Swan era, but she's one of the Swans of the Truman Capote era, and I think 60s, 70s, and I spoke about a lot of them in my series. Check out my episodes on season 7. There are so many episodes about Truman Capote, but CC Guest, who was one of the most influential and stylish women in the world, is not covered. I've yet to cover her, so. But today it's all going to be about the list. It started around the 1930s, 1940s, right after the war. I'm going to give you more specific details about the list, but definitely the war that started in Europe created a lack of demand for fashion and glamour, and here decided to create this list. Oh, here's my favorite one. Babe Paley. They created a list of glamorous style influencers. Definitely this list, the best dressed list, was what is today the style influencers of social media. But definitely these women, they were stars on their own. The way they carry themselves, there is such mystery, elegance, definitely inner confidence. So definitely the list is starting from the 1940s, and it covered royalty, socialites, movie stars. They all look fabulous. So they became part of the International Best Dressed List in order to inspire and excite people. We have here Princess Diana. They wanted to inspire and influence people to like fashion again, and they did it so well. What an amazing group. If you have a chance, take a look at this book. I bought it on Amazon, and I have a story to share about this. And keep your eyes open, because I didn't, and I learned my lesson. So I bought the book. It was used. I just clicked because I was so excited to start the research, and when I was doing some research about the author, she was on a podcast interview and she sounded very excited to speak about this book, Amy Fine Collins. So I immediately went online on Amazon and checked out the book. It was a used book. I didn't even see that it was a used book. It was like over $40. Anyway, it was very first thing in the morning. I didn't sleep very well that night. That was the day of the earthquake last week, the New York City earthquake. So it was one of those crazy mornings that I did pick up that energy and the unease, and I was not myself, so I purchased this book. It was like over $45 or so. So the book comes in, and it was the most disgusting book I have seen. It was so dirty, so damaged. It was literally falling apart. Speaking about used books, I have never seen such a destroyed book. So disgusting. So many scratches. All the edges, they were like frayed. Some parts were really coming apart. They were not binded still. There was an oil stain inside at the very, very beginning, and I was shocked. So in any case, I returned it. So I go back to buy another one. I found a brand new book for half the price, like $21. And I'm looking at the book now. So some people online can take advantage of situations and people that don't pay attention. So be aware of that. I'm sure you are, but I'm just sharing with you my experience because it happened. And there were so many available. This particular person, the first one, indicated that it was a rare book and it was the last one. The one that sold me the damaged, the extremely damaged book. I wouldn't even have it on my coffee table. It was so dirty and damaged, destroyed. Anyway, they took it back. So I'm looking at a brand new book right now that I got, and it's going to be a book that I will go back and forth because there is so much content in here. There is so much style influence. Speaking about style influence, I don't need to go online on Instagram and follow the style influencers because I can go through the book and just open at any page and get inspiration, get style, get glamour, the original glamour. Okay, so I'm looking at the foreword here where the famous Carolina Herrera, is an American designer, I'm sure you all know, but she is introducing this book, and she's saying some very cool things in her introductory note, and I'm quoting her, and the reason I'm sharing this with you is she's very right what she's saying, okay? So that is the reason why I'm sharing this. So she's saying, I'm often asked what it means to be best dressed. As the members of the list portrayed on these pages and how they are showing us, the best dressed is not so much about what you wear as how you wear it. Best dressed is also not about wealth or following a fashion trend, but about how you move, how you think, live in your clothes day to day. Ideally with a sense of humor, and in my case I'm going to add originality and what's the other word, something joy and playfulness. Well, I guess it's humor as well. So how to be playful and cute and uninhibited in a way that it's charming. Okay, that's the word I was looking for. How to be a sense of charm, okay? That's why I'm inserting here something that I'm doing recently. I'm doing bags that I'm going to have charms on it. They're made from raffia, and I'm calling them charming bags because I just absolutely love this look. It's trending anyway, but I was doing this long ago. So even my own bags, I have so many that I have charms since the last 3-4 years, ever since I did the podcast about Jane Birkin and how she was using charms on her bag. I don't know if she was part of the international best-selling list. I'm not a best dressed list. I'm not sure if she was Jane Birkin, but definitely she was a style influencer, one of the best and one of my favorites. And I have a podcast about Jane Birkin. So check it out on my podcast, Fashion Love Stories. But in any case, she was using the charms and she was attracting so much attention. That's why she's Jane Birkin, because she dared to be charming and have a sense of humor and just playfulness. Okay, so going back to Carolina Herrera, the impressions that linger most identically from this book are, for me, certain incidental details that reveal personality and character. She's speaking about some of the people that I spoke, like Diana Ross, Audrey Hepburn, Grace Kelly, Babe Palin, how they were photographed, how they used a signature style to express themselves, to make an entrance, to be seated. It's all about the fascinating attitudes and the gestures, the elegance that these women had. They were making a huge statement without saying anything, with their clothes or without their clothes, actually, without really, even if they're wearing a, don't misunderstand me, I'm not speaking about nakedness here. I'm saying without even wearing a couture gown, these women, just by being who they are, and the men, obviously, like in the case of Agnelli, they had such presence, such fire within, such elegance, such grandeur. They had the star quality. So whether they were wearing the right clothes, the best dressed list is not about that. It's about how you're wearing your clothes. Doesn't matter what you're wearing. You can wear a pair of jeans and scarf as a top, like a tube top, an enormous top, like a bandana kind of a top, and just be amazing. And this can be all thrifted from the vintage shop, so it doesn't have to be expensive couture gowns to make that statement. So what she's saying, Carolina Herrera, about their attitudes, gestures, their elegance. Okay, this principle, of course, applies to life as well as to pictures. Okay, these women and men from this international best-selling list, they had a life, a beautiful life, nevertheless, a bold life. The more I read about them, the more I'm like, what am I doing? These people had amazing, full lives. What happened to us? What happened to our generation? They had amazing lives. They were traveling, they were married, they were divorcing, they were marrying again, bigger and better husbands, financially and otherwise. Exciting lives, exciting travels, exciting homes. They were creating a lot, beautiful moments. What a bold present, bold life. So she was saying here, a beautiful dress is always a pleasure to wear and a delight to look at, but it is the quality of our thoughts and of our actions and of how we live, not just our clothes, that distinguishes well-dressed from best-dressed, okay? So this is what Carolina Herrera is saying, and here she's also saying that Eleanor Lambert established the international best dressed list, and I'm going to be back and tell you the story about Eleanor Lambert and give you more details, and at the end of this podcast I'm going to give you some of the famous names throughout the decades since this list began, to update you and provide you with information just in case you're looking for style inspiration. You can always go back to these original style influencers. Okay, so I'm going to take a little break and I'll come back. Okay, darlings, I'm back and I'm continuing this segment with a quote by Thomas Fuller, dated 1608, 1661, the years, okay? So he's saying, quote, good clothes open all doors, end of quote. So style and clothing is very, very powerful as a tool. So here I'm going to continue with reading some of the introductory information on the book, and this couple of paragraphs is by Graydon Carter. He was part of the list. He was one of the people at the time that made the list. I believe it was in 1988. So he's saying, I'm reading now from the book. As I was to discover, the international best dressed list was then almost half a century old at the time of 1988, and it was something to be named to it. The list had been cooked up by Eleanor Lambert before the United States entered World War II as a way of drumming up interest in American fashion at the time when the European houses struggled. Eleanor was Ascani, a public relations shaman, as you were up to find in those days. So she was in PR, public relations. Like so many people who made their mark in New York, she was not from New York City. She had grown up in Indiana, and after she stopped to Chicago and wound up in New York. I believe she studied art in Chicago. So she was in the art scene in her 20s in New York City. So she began representing artists and even museums. One museum that she was representing at the time was the Whitney Museum, which was opening at the time. So Eleanor, however, she gravitated to fashion. And as one looks back, it can fairly be argued that she probably did more for the American clothing industry than any other single individual. Okay, so she was a major influencer and changed the scene of the fashion, American fashion. She created the Custom Institute, okay, the annual ball that happens every year at the Metropolitan Museum. She created Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, that is shown twice a year in September and I believe in March, the collections of American designers. She also started the Council of Fashion Designers of America and also the Coty Awards. And of course, the famous international best dressed list. So this is all Eleanor Lambert's work. I'm going to give you more information about her. She's really major. So according to Graydon Carter, he's continuing. Eleanor came into my life about a decade after I had gone on the best dressed list. I was by then at Vanity Fair and she invited me along with three colleagues from the magazine to join the committee that selected, after reviewing the poll results, who would be on the list. Excuse me. Those three colleagues were Reynaldo Herrera, the husband of the designer Carolina Herrera, Amy Bell. She was a deputy at Vanity Fair, and Amy Fine Collins, who was a Vanity Fair special correspondent and the author of this book here that I'm sharing with you. So, he's continuing. We would gather with other committee members at Eleanor's apartment on 87th Street and 5th Avenue with its tree-height view looking over Center Park Reservoir. The tea sandwiches, they were served, they were all catered by Mortimer, the very famous restaurant at the time. So there were a lot of people there gathering every year to select the best dressed people. Now, all these people, they were major style, I guess, extremely powerful people, and they had the eye and of what was considered to be elegant and chic, and who deserved to be on that list. They were professional fashion, and also they were creating the list themselves, but they were very specially selected. Not everyone would be part of this committee because a lot of reputations were created with their decisions, okay? So it was a very difficult thing to do. A lot of people expected to be in the list. A lot of people, they were even paying, or they were gifting the people that were in the committee to be included. And we're talking about international, very affluent, powerful people that wanted, so it was hard to do this. So he's saying the committee members, they all had taken an oath to secrecy, so they were not allowed to tell who they were, except these four people, okay, that I mentioned. So it was a policy to protect the committee from the wrath of those that they were not included on the list. So everything was held in complete secrecy. So she was very tough about this, Eleanor. So he's continuing. Eleanor became close to my three colleagues, and a year before her death in 2003, she gave the list to the four of us. So the people that I just mentioned, they are the owners of the list. It is such a glamorous enterprise. So the legacy of Eleanor's vision and the integrity of the list rests fully on the shoulders of my three compadres. The international best dressed list tells you a lot about where we have been over the past 80 years, and we hope that it will continue to provide a historical record of who is who was the most powerful, most influential, most stylish person of the year. Okay, so looking back, for example, in 1988's list, I feel that I was in company for far above my station. Okay, so this is what Graydon Carter is saying. This year, President George Bush, the senior, was included. So were three dashing men of my later acquaintance. So one of them was John Kennedy Jr., Brian Ferry, and Steve Martin of 1988, okay? My guess is that even if they might have publicly poo-pooed their inclusion on Eleanor's list, privately, they were tickled. So Graydon Carter is saying, I know I was. So this is a little bit about the list. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to give you more information about Eleanor. I will also include some famous people, okay? So I'll be back. So So I'm doing a lot of research on this magnificent lady, Eleanor Lambert, and there is so much content, so much contribution that she deserves another episode. So I'm going to quickly give you some very important information about her, because otherwise this particular podcast episode is not going to make a lot of sense. But I am continuing with part two, which is going to be uploaded by the end of this week. So today is Thursday, most likely in 3 days, by Saturday or Sunday the latest, I will upload the second part. So this way you will get the whole picture, the whole fashionable scene, the whole work of art that she created for fashion. Okay, Eleanor Lambert, she was born on August 10th in 1903, and she passed away 100 years later on September 7th, 2003. She was an American fashion publicist. She was born in Indiana, and she was instrumental in increasing the international prominence of the American fashion industry and in the emergence of New York City as a major fashion capital. Lambert was the founder of New York Fashion Week, the Council of Fashion Designers of America, which is CFDA, the Met Gala, and the International Best Dressed List, which also includes the International Best Dressed Hall of Fame. This includes actually the people that have been featured on the list several times. So they ended up being on this special list, the Hall of Fame list, because they were forever best dressed, because they won this title after being part of this International Best Dressed List so many times. One of them is the Duchess of Windsor. The other one is Babe Paley, just to name two, but I will give you more information on the next podcast, because there is so much information about this fashion contributor, and there's so much. It may even be a third part, okay? A third episode. So let's start with the basics about her personal life. So she was born in Crawfordsville, Indiana. She attended the Art Institute of Chicago, where she studied fashion. She wanted to be a sculptor, but instead she moved to New York and she went into advertising. So she was working for an advertising agency in Manhattan, dealing mostly with artists and art galleries. So that was in 1925. This is when she moved to New York. So she was working briefly for an advertising agency in the mid-1930s. Miss Lambert was the first press director of the Whitney Museum of American Art and helped with the founding of the Museum of Modern Art and the Art Dealers Association of America. Some famous artists such as Jackson Pollock, Jacob Epstein, Isamu Noguchi were of the very many artists that she had in her list that she represented. So here we go now. In the 1940s, Miss Lambert founded the International Best Dressed List and the Coty Fashion Critics Award, okay, CFDA, and New York Fashion Week. It all started because of the war. They wanted to glamorize and make New York exciting, because Europe was in war. So all the fashion houses in Europe that they were prominent style influencers and style suppliers and fashion suppliers to the world, they were not working anymore. They were shut. So So in 1959, between 1959 and 1967, she was asked by the U.S. Department of State to present American fashion for the first time in Russia, Germany, Italy, Australia, Japan, Britain, and Switzerland. So in 1962, she organized the CFDA, the Council of Fashion Designers of America, and stayed an honorary member until her death in 2003. In 1965, she was appointed by President Lyndon Johnson to the National Council on the Arts of the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm going to tell you more about it coming up in the next few episodes. So in 2001, the CFDA created the Eleanor Lambert Award that is presented for the unique contribution to the world of fashion and or deserves the industry's special recognition. That's a quote. Let me repeat that one. That's a quote, okay? This is the name of the award and the description. It's presented for that reason, for the unique contribution to the world of fashion and or the person who is receiving it deserves the industry's special recognition. Months before she passed away in 2003, she had left her international best dressed list to four of Vanity Fair's, the magazine, editors, which I spoke to you about earlier in this episode. Shortly after her last public appearance in New York's Fashion Week in September 2003, Miss Lambert died at the age of 100. God rest her soul, I may say, and may her memory be eternal. It is, actually. Shortly after her death, her grandson Moses Bergson completed a documentary film about her life. So I have to see this documentary film. There is so much information and I'm so excited. So much fashion history. So a very famous fashion historian, his name is John A. Tiffany, was mentored by Miss Lambert. Okay, one source described Lambert as, quote, a factor in the gross domestic product of the United States and even of the world for her influence in the fashion industry. So I'm going to end the podcast here. And like I said, I'm going to continue with more information on this same topic because there is so much. And I'm very excited because as a fashionista that I am and as a history lover that I am as well, the combination of history and fashion really excites me and really makes me want to share that because why not, right? We have to learn from the past and learn what these particular people did and why they did and how much they worked to influence culture, to influence, like in this case, the gross domestic product of the United States. I mean, they were all influencers for the positive and they beautified the world. And as a matter of fact, they worked very, very hard because nothing happens without a lot of work, a lot of team effort, a lot of focus and passion. You have to have passion in order to succeed and create something that will eternally change the world. And the people that I'm mentioning in this podcast, they deserve, especially Eleanor Lambert. So she's a major influencer. So definitely she was a fashion publicist and a lot more. I think that's it. I'm going to end up here and then I'm going to go out and go shopping. I have to buy a perfume. I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's something new which I haven't worn, but I tried it recently and I really liked it. So I will tell you my perfume on the next podcast in a few days, my darlings. Bye-bye. And that's a wrap of another episode of Fashion Love Stories. If you like my content and my style, please subscribe and please, please, please leave me a nice review. Your feedback helps me tremendously to continue creating beautiful content for you. It's actually a pleasure to do this and it's given me such a joy. If you have any comments, requests or content ideas, please leave me a message on Instagram. DM me at Susanna Galanis. I'm always available for you. Remember, we're here together to create a beautiful community full of love, light, style, and beautiful life ideas. So, stay beautiful, my darlings, and stay chic. Until next time, I'm Susanna Galanis, and this is Fashion Love Stories.